Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Protectors Portal podcast. I'm your host, Josh Waddell. The Protectors Portal is a place to share history and tell our stories for veterans and first responders. Today, our guest is John Eldridge. John was a member of the Vancouver Police Department for 26 years. He followed that with an 11-year career with the WorkSafe BC, which is the Workers' Compensation Board of British Columbia, where he led a team of investigating fatal accidents in the workplace. He wrote Second Careers for Street Cops as a guide for law enforcement officers looking for a second career. Through his job search and transition into career after policing, John realized the lack of second career information available specifically for police officers. Second Careers for Street Cops is his down-to-earth practical advice for street cops who want to move on to a new work life after their law enforcement careers. John, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, Josh. How are you this morning?
Not too bad. So, good. Last week I did an episode with Ray Foster from LAPD's retired lieutenant, and we did starting a career in law enforcement, so it would only be right to talk about ending a career in law enforcement and transitioning back into the public sector.
Well, that sounds like a good progression to me, Josh. I think you've got a good idea there to help people find a police career and then after a good long run in policing to move on to something else.
So second career for street cops, what gave you the motivation to write this book?
Well, I really enjoyed my police career. I was a police officer for 26 years, as you said, and I finished off with a smile on my face, and then I had a good run in my second career. And when I finished that, I came to the realization there just wasn't much information out there for police officers as they planned and transitioned into a second career. And I thought I'd write a book and pass on what I learned along the way in my two careers. You know, Josh, I think that police officers underestimate the value of a police career and how they have so many transferable skills. And so I wanted to point that out in my book, that we learned a lot in policing. And we can carry on using those same skills in police-related occupations, you know, such as still investigating or security or what have you. But there's lots of other things to do, too. And they really are transferable skills. And I'm thinking about things like problem confrontation, good judgment, decision-making, leadership, teamwork, communication skills, those types of things. After you've had a 20, 25-year police career, you know a lot about that sort of thing. And you can use it for a second career.
Yeah. What are some practical things a police officer can do to get ready for the second career?
Well, and by the way, Josh, you know, I really should point out, I'm not a human relations professional. I'm not a career coach. I'm just somebody who's lived the police life, and I've been through it. So I've sat in the patrol car on night shift and wondered what I do next with my life. And so that's my motivation and what I'd like to pass on. So just wanted to make that point. But some of the practical things you can do, if I was in policing today and I was looking into a second career, I'd pick a date. Pick a date when I was going to leave and move on. And you don't have to share that date with anybody. You can take it and stick it in your back pocket. It's just something that you know. And it's changeable. You can change the date. But just have a date in mind when you're going to make your move. I'd look ahead and choose a second career. And if it's too far away, or if you really are not sure what you'd like to do, pick about three things, three fields, and say, you know, maybe maybe I'll pick one of those in the end and then stay abreast of what's happening in those fields. Learn your strengths and weaknesses. And I don't think you need to do a whole lot of self-analysis about strengths and weaknesses. As you progress through your police career, you get to learn a lot about yourself, and you know what you're good at, you know what you're not good at. But the things that you're not good at are things you can work on. You can fill in those gaps as you go along, and you can identify new skills that you've learned in policing. I'd always be scanning for new career possibilities too, Josh. As we know, it's a changing world, and there are new job possibilities, new occupations out there developing all the time. So, and the credible media is a good place to look for that. You look for media stories about new occupations, new jobs.
When is a good time for? I know in the United States, a lot of retirements are for law enforcement here in New York anyway. 20 to 25 years. There's a 20-year plan, a 25-year plan. When is a good time for a police officer during his career to, like, okay, I want to get myself thinking about retirement, and when should I start focusing on my career after retirement? When should that, when did it kick in for you anyway?
Well, I suppose I could say on day two of the police academy, but you'd probably move it ahead from there a bit, Josh. Well, you know, just to pick a figure, I'd say look at the 10-year mark. After 10 years in policing, some of the glow has probably worn off, and an officer starts looking ahead to the end. And maybe he or she is saying, well, I'm not going to give this up. I like what I'm doing. Hopefully there's a pension at the end. But I'd like to do something else. So I'd look around that 10-year mark, Josh, as a way of starting to really, really focus on it and start to do some record keeping around that time. And what I mean by that is before you lose all of your little certificates and plaques and so on that you get when you're a police officer, start to organize them and keep track of them. And, gather together your records of training courses, awards, commendations, promotions, special assignments, and start to keep that somewhere where it's all together. And once you've done that once you've gathered it, you're in pretty good shape. From there on, it's just a matter of adding to it. So somewhere in that 10-year mark, Josh, I would do that.
John, as an officer goes through his or her career, what are some of the things to keep in mind in terms of looking ahead? I think we already touched base on that a little bit, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit more.
Yep. Well, one of the things I would do in terms of looking ahead is once you've done that basic record keeping that I just mentioned, I'd have a resume ready. And it doesn't have to be fancy, but it's good to take your information and put it into a resume, have it all in one place. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that you may hit a point in your career where you spot a job that you really like and you want to go for it. And if you've got a resume ready to go, keeping in mind that you probably have a really busy life, you don't want to stop and have to create a resume and start from square one. But if you've got one ready to go, you're in a good position to touch it up a little bit and apply for something that you're interested in. The other scenario that can happen is the surprise. The phone rings one day, and somebody says, "Hey, I know you're the sergeant in the training section there at your police agency, and I'm looking for a corporate trainer. How about sending me your resume?" Well, if you haven't got a resume, panic sets in, and you're not in a good place. So I would have a resume ready to go. As you look ahead in your police career, build on what you know. Build on the skills that you've learned. And keep training and learning. And one thing that police officers can do, and if they would only look ahead, if they have a reasonably clear idea of what they'd like to do for a second career, they could try to get some training in that field before they leave the police department. So, for instance, maybe you're interested in going into corporate fraud when you're finished with your police career. So you're looking ahead and thinking, well, I'll do 25, I'll get a reasonable pension, and I'll move into corporate fraud. Well, do you think being in the fraud squad or the commercial crime squad or whatever your particular police agency calls it would be a help in transitioning into that field? Of course it would. And same thing with things like becoming a polygraph operator. Maybe you'd like to do that in civilian life later. Well, gee, if you could be a polygraph operator while you're still in policing, wouldn't that be a good stepping stone? And I'm not saying...
In other words, try to get your training paid for while you're still working as a police officer, correct?
Yeah. If you can do that and still give your all to the police department, because you owe it to your police career to give them the best that you can give them and to be the best police officer you can be. But if you can, at the same time, do something for yourself, well, that's a win-win, Josh, for sure. The other thing to consider as you move along and you look ahead is we have a wonderful network in the police community. And networking is so easy for police officers. I mean, just imagine you go on a course in advanced patrol tactics or something with 20 other police officers, and maybe they're from different police agencies, and you get to know some people. Well, that's growing your network. And I know, I just wrote about this in my blog recently, I know police officers don't seem to like the word networking because it's got a kind of a phony ring to it. And as I said in my blog, police officers deal with a lot of phonies and they don't much like them. And I get that. So if you don't like the word network, just think of all the people that you've met in policing who you trust to give you good advice. That's your network. And the reality is, who asks more questions and for more advice than police officers of other police officers? In other words, if you're going on a trip to Hawaii or Mexico and somebody in your police agency that you know and trust has been there, what are you going to do? You're going to say, where did you stay? Did you get a good deal here? Or what did you do when you were there? Well, that's all part of gathering information from your network. So we already do it. So the police network is really a big asset for all of us.
Do you think it is a process, working as a police officer for 20 plus years and getting a job in the public sector? We're so used to, we're a team of, we call us the thin blue line, and, we transfer to the public sector. Do you think that is difficult for an officer that's got a lot of time, a lot of years on working in the same environment to go into a new environment?
It can be, Josh. It can be. From my experience, depending where you go for that second career, you may get a good reception having been a police officer, and you may get a not-so-good reception. We all know not everybody likes police officers. We've all had that experience. But I have seen police officers who just couldn't take off the police hat, if you know what I mean, and went into a new organization with the jaw stuck out and the hat on, and it didn't go well. So there can be some difficulties with that transition. I think you have to take a pretty good read on where it is you're going to work, and what the reception is going to be. And going back to the network, if there's former police officers already there, talk to them and ask them, what it's like and look for some hints about how to act when you go in the door, Josh.
Right.
There's something else, too.
How difficult was it for you to make that transition?
It was pretty good. I was a municipal police officer, and I went into to a group of 18 investigators, and I was the manager. They weren't all former police officers, but about two-thirds of them were. And so I was lucky in that way. I was going into a group who had a lot of police experience, and I got a pretty good reception. I saw others that didn't.
Right.
And mostly it was because of the peripheral groups that we related to amongst ourselves as former street cops. We all got along fine. Other groups that looked at us thought we were different, which I guess we were to some extent. So,
I think that we carry ourselves different, and we communicate amongst each other differently due to the atmosphere that we've worked in for so long.
We do, Josh, and we've all experienced the dark humor on the policing side, that I always think that the police officers and emergency room nurses have a similar set of humor, and it isn't always something that the rest of the general public understands. So going into the new organization and having coffee with some people that have never been policing, sometimes you have to kind of watch the war stories, if you know what I mean. They don't always want to hear the gruesome details. There was one other thing I wanted to mention, Josh, and that was as you progress through your career, the idea of getting career help from professionals such as a career coach. And I don't think everybody has to do that, but some people have a hard time sorting out what they'd like to do after their police career. And working with a career coach or a professional like that can sometimes turn the light on a little easier for a police officer who's just having some problems sorting it out. And the other scenario that where a professional might come in handy is if you don't have the greatest public history as a police officer, and I'm putting that delicately, but let's just say if you've been on the front page of the newspaper, and not for a good reason, you may have to deal with that when you end up in a job interview. And
right. In other words, you probably wouldn't want to go apply to be a school teacher.
Yeah, you might want to apply to be a school teacher and maybe what they know about you is not all that great. I don't think that has to be fatal, because we all have histories. Some of them aren't so good. Some of them are great. That's life. We all have our ups and downs. All I'm saying is if the history is difficult or may cause you a problem getting a new job, you might want to get some professional help in how to present that in the best way. Just to help yourself along.
Maybe you've seen it, and I know I've seen it where there's been individuals that have had something that's come up during their career that wasn't so great, and they move on to either go get a job at another department or they're going to go into the public sector, and that topic that tarnish them in a way, may not have ruined their career, but it didn't look good for them. They have to complete several job interviews until they can find that right spot or figure out a way how to phrase that incident or how to articulate that incident, how that happened, so they can hopefully land a job.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Josh. That's exactly what. Just how to present yourself in the best light when you go for the job, just because of your history. So, yes, that's exactly what I mean. It could be any number of things that have happened. You just want to be able to put your best foot forward and present yourself in the best way. There's a couple of other things, too, Josh. Sorry.
Go ahead, John.
Well, here's something that comes up in the second career area quite a bit, is people assume that once they get into their later years, shall we say, 50s, 60s, in getting into the end of a police career or a post-police career, that they'll just be able to carry on working forever. And, you know, it just isn't true because things get in the way. And one of the things that gets in the way is medical or health difficulties. So people assume, well, I can work another 10 years after policing, I'll be fine. Maybe not. So my advice is, as you go through your police career, try to stay as healthy and fit as you can. And I'm not saying you have to do the Ironman or be a marathon runner. I'm just saying look after yourself, take care of your health. When you get to be 60 years old, you'll be able to go for a few more years without losing your health. It's just something that I think is important. And another thing, just going back to the officer who may have the difficult history, your reputation is your biggest asset. And in my book, one of the things I say is be the best street cop you can be. That's your reputation. Continue to show interest in your police career. Work hard at it. Have a good reputation. At the end of the day, when you go for that second career, you're going to be asking some people for job references. So think ahead about what will they say about you. And if you have a good reputation and you've done your best, you're probably going to do just fine. So those are important things to me. If you have that plan in place, Josh, you know, starting with pick a date, stick that date in your back pocket, keep it to yourself if you want to. Develop your plan, your custom-made plan. It's yours. You own it. You don't have to tell anybody else about it. But from time to time, review your plan. Think about whether or not it's still applicable to where you want to go in your life. It's yours. You own it. You don't have to tell anybody else about it. It's your plan.
Right. You know, going back to the officer that had a few hurdles across during their career that may have tarnished their background.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes if the media gets a hold of it, they can make that situation a lot bigger, make it appear a lot bigger than it actually was, unfortunately. And, of course, if you decide to continue your career in that same geographical area, unfortunately, people are going to know who you are. And you have your story, but 9 times out of 10, people tend to believe the media story or the rumors.
Yep, that's a problem.
It is.
That's a problem. And, you know, the best thing I could say, Josh, is just go back to that idea of if you're in that position, get some help in how to deal with that. You know, how to deal with the negative slant in the media story, if that was the case. And the thing is, if you build up a portfolio that is really good, and you have that one, we'll call it a black mark. You may be able to get that brushed aside pretty easily if everything else is good and you have a reasonable explanation for what happened. You have to put some work into it, though.
Well, it takes people for like you that would understand, you know, having an extensive law enforcement career, and things do happen. If somebody did, let's say you were still a manager in the company you were over in the the compensation board and you had somebody apply for you that did have, you know, the black mark, whether it was released in the media or not, and but you would be able to understand that these things do happen. And, you know, people do change or whatever the case may be, and there is a second chance.
There is. And really, I'd have to say a good hiring manager should be able to dig a little deeper to find out what's the truth and what isn't the truth. If he or she is interested in a particular candidate and sees a lot of good qualities, again, it's having that good portfolio, then they should be able to dig a little deeper to find out what impact that incident or incidents might have on the candidate's job performance in the future. You know, Josh, it's amazing what job references will tell you. And we know this from policing. When you start talking to somebody and asking them questions, it might take a little while, but a lot of things come out. And so when employers are doing reference checks, they do make those phone calls, and they do talk to people, and I've done it. And it might take 10, 15 minutes, and then things start to come out. And even when the candidate has asked the person to be a reference for them, so you're going to ask your friend or your supervisor who you know likes you to be your reference, things still come out that may be negative. It just happens. So so the good and the bad do come out when you do those reference checks.
Which would be another term for effective communication on the behalf of the person that's doing the reference check, is the 10 to 15 minutes into the question and they finally give up and start giving up information.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Similar to police work, Josh. It takes a while. couple of other... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine, John. Keep going.
Okay. Well, just going back to the whole networking idea, Josh, because I think it's so important and so helpful to our police officers looking ahead to a second career. While they're in their police career and they're looking ahead and they think they have a target in mind for what they want for a second career, it's easy to explore some organizations that are related to your chosen second career. For instance, I'll just go back to the fraud example. If you think you'd like to be a corporate fraud examiner when you finish up, the ACFE, the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, is an excellent organization that provides certification and professional designations and training. An officer could be doing that while they're still in their police career, if you understand what I'm getting at. And as they begin to move out of their police career, they've got some certification and some training in their new field. Another good organization is ACES International, which is, you're probably familiar with it, but it's a huge security organization. And they provide excellent training and certification also. So, you know, a police officer 5 or 10 years out can join these organizations, go to their conferences, get to know people, get some training, get some certification, come to the end of your career, you're in a pretty good place to start moving into your new chosen field.
Yeah. I know my father, we talked about this briefly yesterday. Some mm-hmm. guys don't even, men and women, they just, once that they hit that mark, they don't even want to do anything that's even oriented with police work, and which is fine.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely, it is.
I think sometimes police officers are burned out or drained, and they just want something that is, well, probably they don't want to utilize a lot of communication skills. They don't want to talk anymore. They want something that's going to be low-key and a low-maintenance type of job.
Boy, I get that, Josh. And to those people, I say, absolutely, thanks for your service in a great police career. And if you found something else, then go for it. In my book, I mention a couple of people that went on to different careers, much like your dad. One of them became a realtor. And he told me that at the end of his police career, I think he did 25, he'd had it. He didn't want to be anywhere near the criminal justice system. So he went out and got his real estate license, and he's done very well. And another one did something very interesting. He always wanted to be a pilot. And so as he went through his police career, he got his private pilot's license, and then he became an instructor. And when he was about 50, he got qualified on jet engines, flying jet aircraft. And a couple of years later, he retired from the police department, and he became a pilot for DC-10s. And he was flying DC-10 cargo planes last I talked to him. So some people go down a really different path, and good for them.
Yeah. You know, when we hit the end of our career, a lot of us are between 40 to 50 years old, which we still have a lot of time in life. And you may have kids, you may not have kids, and you still have enough time to have a second career, start a second job somewhere outside the criminal justice field, whether if it or it could be inside. And I know a lot of people personally that do that. Now, yourself, obviously, you continued working yourself.
I did. And, you know, I would say, Josh, when I started in policing a long time ago, the senior officers that were retiring, they just retired. They didn't seem to give much thought to a second career. They went fishing. Well, that's all changed.
Right.
Most police officers that I talk to now want or need to keep on working. And there's lots of reasons for that. The downturn in the economy. Pardon?
Yeah, at that point, that 40 to 50-year-old mark, if you had kids, if in the beginning of your career, they're at that point of they're getting ready to go to college, so you probably have a very large college tuition bill.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. So a good reason to keep your income going. And, you know, the fact is, in police work, it can be very hard on family life. And a lot of police marriages break up. Police officers get divorced, have family responsibilities still. There's all those reasons to keep on going. And so I think it's very important to look ahead. I would say, you know, we talked about the 10-year mark, but I would say at the very least mid-career.
You mentioned about marriages, and I think that anybody that's listening, any younger officers, it is very, very, very critical that when you decide to get into a relationship in the beginning of your career or the middle of your career, to make sure that your significant other understands what you're doing, what you do, and that they back you, because the marriage, 9 times out of 10, if they don't understand the nights and the afternoons and the overtime, there's a good possibility it's not going to work.
Oh, yeah. There are lots of difficulties, lots of pressures on the police family. My wife always says, just remember, when that phone used to ring at night, it wasn't you they woke up, it was me. So there was a lot of truth to that, because then she had to wake me up. But, you know, police work brings a lot of pressures on the police family, and it can go badly. It can end up in a pretty tough situation. So I think we all are quite familiar with that, and it's one more reason why some of officers really need to keep on working. So,
absolutely.
Planning ahead, planning is a big piece of it, Josh, and looking ahead, I just wanted to mention, too, that there are some good sources for following job trends and career trends. Government websites can be pretty good in terms of looking at trends of what are going to be the hot occupations, you know, 5 years from now, that sort of thing. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics in the U.S. has a good website that helps a lot with that. Australia, New Zealand, their governments have really simple user-friendly websites that are very useful. So my point is, one way or the other, it's important to look ahead, look at that horizon, watch for job trends, particularly in the fields that you're interested in.
Right. I know that, excuse me, here in New York, the Department of Labor does their best to assist with career transitioning. And, you know, I get notifications all the time on my email, probably because that I'm all over the place on the internet, of, you know, investigator jobs or what have you across the United States.
There are lots, Josh. I mean, if you want to build on what you have learned as an investigator, I think that's a great way to go. As we said earlier, not everybody wants to stay in the investigations field, but if you do, you could become a private investigator, a corporate investigator. You could go into the workers' compensation field like I did, where we were investigating fatal and serious accidents in the workplace. There seems to be no end to those. It doesn't matter where you are, Canada, the U.S., Britain, Australia, everybody has some form of workers' compensation, and the accidents continue to happen. Things like professional sports leagues and the NCAA have investigative bodies for a number of reasons. Professional organizations such as law societies have investigators. Insurance companies have investigators. There are a lot of investigator jobs out there, and again, if that's what you think you'd like to keep doing, and hey, I always loved investigating, so I understand if somebody would like to do that, then look ahead, pick two or three of those and start to follow them, and maybe join an organization related to that field, and it's a great way to transition.
So, John, do you have any plans for a second book related to law enforcement?
Well, I'm thinking about it, Josh. I'm thinking about doing a workbook that would be another practical aid to police officers. A book where they could learn their strengths, their weaknesses, and analysis, and that sort of thing. It would be smaller than Second Careers for Street Cops, but it would be an aid to the first book.
Well, John, I certainly appreciate you devoting your time to the podcast today. I appreciate you coming on. Anybody that was listening in, this is John Eldridge. He is the author of Second Careers for Street Cops. And he has given us the vast amount of advice based off his own experiences. John was a police officer in Vancouver, Canada for 26 years. You can view John's book on the Amazon link that's provided on this. If you're viewing the podcast, it would be in the narrative section. Just click on that or copy and paste it, and that will take you directly to John's book. Or you can check out my website at nevergiveupsolutions.biz and click on the Amazon A store and browse through that, and you'll also be able to find John's book in there as well. John, thank you, and we're giving up 40 minutes of your early morning.
You're very welcome, Josh. It's been a pleasure, and I hope that we've given some police officers some good ideas for their future second careers.
Well, I know personally you gave me some ideas. So
good.
If that's anything. But no, it was very, very useful information. And I believe that hopefully somebody will pick something up from this. But again, John, thank you and have a enjoyable day.
Thanks, and the same to you, Josh.
All right. Bye-bye.